This is collective bargaining between the Board of Trustees of the University of Central Florida and the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of Central Florida. It is March 8th. And away we go. We have the minutes from the February 22nd, 2018 meeting for for review and consideration. That's a lot of minutes.
We had so much discussion.
I knew you wouldn't be able to resist, Charlie.
Well, you reminded me this morning, so I couldn't help myself.
So the one thing that we caught that's incorrect are the times for the future bargaining sessions. Because it says 8:30, but we agreed previously to three-hour sessions that would end at 9:30.
Okay. Well, then, and I'm glad you brought that up, John. I wanted to have a conversation about what our experiences have been during this round of negotiations. Firstly, it's I would like to have us consider maybe a different time. And part of it has been, and I'll be honest with you about this, part of it has been an inconvenience because I've been running into some trouble when I get out of here at 10 o'clock and I have to go find lodging and check into someplace. And it's been problematic, actually, two times ago. I got someplace and it was almost 11 and they'd given my room away. So I was out riding around Orlando trying to find a room at 11:30 at night. And it's late for us. It's late for me and my travel schedule and all that. So 9:30, we really do not practically get to our car and away from here till 10. And I'll tell you another concern that I have is that it's not every week, but we have been losing some team members because they have some family obligations that, so they want to go home and see children or something before they go to bed. I think the thought was that we would propose maybe ending a little earlier in the evening. We're bringing that up for your consideration. We don't want to curtail the opportunity to meet, and so if that means changing the hours, or if it means adding a day to cover hours, we're fine with that. We're not trying to avoid face-to-face negotiations for as long as makes good sense. It's just that 9:30 at night has proven to be a challenge for me.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because what was communicated to us was a unilateral change, and that's a very different animal, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we...
Let's
step outside for just a second. Just our team.
Yeah.
Should we turn this off or leave this on?
Is this alone?
How do we turn it off?
Okay. A lot of us have family obligations as well, and we've been managing to meet at 6:30 to 9:30. But how about 5:30 to 8:30? So it's the same end time, but it allows us the 3 hours to get substantive work done in a session.
Do you want to step outside?
Yeah.
It's a good thing this is.
Well, I have another thought, and we were wondering, how about a time slot of 6 to 9, because some people are still working at 5 and 5:30 on other things and other meetings and stuff like that. So that's cutting it too tight.
Okay, that's acceptable to us.
Okay.
Okay, so we're gonna
change the time frames for
6 to 9
for the upcoming 3 sessions to
4 sessions, right?
Oh, well,
oh no, today. No. You're right. Sorry.
Okay.
All right.
And did I understand the minutes to be acceptable to all, except for the time?
Yes.
And so we'll fix the time, because now the time is different than what's on here again.
Correct.
Okay.
And speaking of that, we have another housekeeping item that's sure to please Charlie. So the corrected version of the February 1st minutes aren't up on the website right now. So remember, we agreed to strike the problematic phrase, and it was discussed.
I didn't agree to strike that.
I thought we did.
So you're talking about the February 1st?
First minutes, correct.
We have a couple of articles to put on.
Responses, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we do that, let us take care of another housekeeping style issue.
Okay.
So, with regard to the recently proposed UCF regulations and various work rules and changes to benefits, UFF is insisting that the university must maintain the status quo until all bargaining is complete. Okay, and so that includes, but is not limited to, the librarian and CDL promotions, department and college work equity and other policies, EH&S policies and procedures about laboratory safety.
Okay.
And so
can you read it?
Yeah, I've got a copy for you.
Okay.
Is there more than one copy?
I'll let you have this.
I was just curious if there was one.
Yeah, I just made one.
Is there anything else, John?
Nope. We're ready for your proposals.
All right. I'm going to give you two to start off with.
Yep. Do you want your copies back?
This should be stricken.
Well, we can tell them that those are stricken. Yeah. Because we didn't have six yet when you did this one.
Oh.
That's
did.
Why.
Yeah.
Do we want to make the changes now before
no.
we have multiple?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Can you just X out H?
She can explain why she
all right.
had that.
Reaction. I'm just trying to make sure. Try to minimize confusion over here on our end of the table.
Okay.
So we had agreed to do that last week, or last time we met.
All right. So what?
Right.
So what we provided is proposal number two on Article 5, and proposal number two from the DOT on Article 6, which is academic freedom and non-discrimination. And if I'm reading Sherry and Charlie correctly. On Article 5, if you would, go to 5.3H,
mm-hmm.
and does that move, or does that...
It is stricken, and a variation of that is moved into 6.2.
All right, so, but for these purposes of tonight, if you would, we would... the language in Lavender that is... following subsection H under 5.3 would be stricken, and then H would become, I mean, I would become H.
All right, we've made that correction.
And then that language in different terminology is addressed in Article 6 under 6.2 policy.
Where is it addressed?
Yeah.
It's addressed in 6.2.
B?
6.2B.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I see it.
It's the second sentence.
Right.
Does anybody have anything you want to say about that for Martine?
Nope. I think it's self-explanatory.
All right. Well, let us give you...
Wait. Did we discuss or did we not discuss?
Mm-hmm. No, not discuss.
So we didn't discuss? All right. No discussion.
No, we discussed it because they corrected
did,
a mistake. Yeah. They corrected a typo.
Mistake was corrected. Well,
yeah, so
we did ask a question, and I did answer it.
Yeah.
You could say at least that. An inquiry is made.
I'm not sure how many they have on their side. We'll give you our academic freedom article and highlight the changes that we've made. All right. And we just noticed a typo in ours.
Yeah.
So this is from our previous version, and the changes are in gray. The changes in gray are changes that you suggested previously.
Okay.
So on line 19, the strikeout of such. On line 31, substituting what they say and do for our previous suggestion of remarks, which was replacing utterances.
They are shall to.
And then, yeah, line 32, it should be just shall, and we can strike the to, the preposition to.
And the are.
It should say they
shall. Oh, they shall, yeah, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we had previously taken out the old part H, as you did, and then changed the lettering to correspond. And I believe those are all the changes. Mm-hmm. So, just coincidentally, or maybe not, we have an article, a non-discrimination article for you as well.
Do you want to hear me,
Tom? I don't know what I'm doing. Just smack me. Except one of those back to me.
Sorry. I could have two more, John.
Do we have a couple that we can?
Thank you.
Can we bring one more back our way?
Definitely did not print enough.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much. So in our article, we also struck out a lot of the existing language that you struck out under sexual harassment.
Okay.
And then we adopted some of your language about the violations being reported to the Office of Institutional Equity. And then also inserted language in line 188 about employees also presenting claims as grievances. So the existing language, I think, was Blue Book language, and it came from an era where faculty probably were creating things as a matter of course, but it was more, the old-fashioned, they're typing something up and then Xeroxing it and handing it out. And nowadays, everybody's creating all sorts of things, their own lab manuals and entire books and
Gamification.
Yeah, that sort of thing. There's just so much more creativity that's involved in being a faculty member. Or at least that's, I'm not sure that's the right phrase to use. But there's so many more creative works generated. They're generated much more easily and much faster, and mm-hmm. I think more people take advantage of that for their courses. And so that was the intent there, was just to recognize that faculty are doing those sorts of things just as a matter of routine, a matter of course now.
That makes perfect sense to me. My only concern with that language when I first saw it was that And this is probably an outdated notion too, because we're not using textbooks as much mm-hmm. as we used to, but we've always had a policy that if you create something or something, if you author the textbook or something and you want that to be used for your course, you can't profit off of it. If it's being sold to the students, then that money has to be donated back to a department or a charity or something. And I just want to make sure we were still in agreement on that aspect of it. And you were putting create in here, you were not referring to things that would be sold to students that you might end up.
Well, that's state law, I believe, is that you can't profit from yeah. your own instructional material. So, no, we weren't intending okay. that at all.
All right. Just want to make
no. Let's
clarify that. What you said I thought was probably your intent, but I just want to clarify that.
Okay.
All right. So we have dueling 5 and 6. Or
do we want
8 and 10, depending yeah. on...
Well, we're not wedded to the numbers.
Yeah,
but we're,
playbook you're in.
Right. We can always change the numbers if later on. Right. Do we want to take a brief caucus for these?
We could. You know what I think? I think we should take a brief caucus. Yeah.
It would be nice to start TAing things.
All right. So that?
Okay.
Let's see. Oops. Record. Good. This is better. Mm.
And we're back on?
I don't have no mind either.
Where do you want to begin, Dan?
Why don't we start with the academic freedom
okay.
article? So I think we're pretty close there. In your proposal that you gave us today on line 28,
mm-hmm.
You had some additional language that's highlighted in yellow,
mm-hmm.
and we're okay with including that language.
Okay.
And we're also okay with flip-flopping the order of A and B.
Okay.
And then in 5.2, so this is again on your proposal on line 16,
mm-hmm.
Where it says faculty, and we're suggesting again that change that we've been making throughout to make it employees, just to be consistent all through there.
Okay, line 16.
Yeah. Then hopefully our discussion on your line 13 to create and select instructional materials and course materials, that would be acceptable.
Yeah,
and then the last one is, so on your line 14, it just ends with university policies. And on our version, we identified the policy that we thought is being referenced, so we'd like to put that in so that folks know exactly what's being referred to there.
So, were you going to say something, Chair?
I understand what you're talking about in terms of wanting to be consistent with employees, but actually, you have some people in your unit who are A&P employees who are. Like doctors at the health center, dentists. Academic freedom really only applies to faculty. I don't have academic freedom.
Do you get to taught a course?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got people who are like just in SDES.
Does the doctor still have the freedom to discuss academic subjects freely and forthrightly without fear of censorship?
Well,
they don't have academic subjects.
Yeah.
Just so you hear what her thought is there. It doesn't have to debate it or anything. We just wanted you to hear what the thought is there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a new one because we haven't talked about that before.
Yeah.
Well, the term employees is defined in the back of the book, representing all members of the bargaining unit, which I believe in principle we want that to apply to all members of our bargaining unit.
That's true,
like
but it is United Faculty of Florida. You are typically a faculty. This is a faculty union, and it is an anomaly of history that you have people who are not faculty in a faculty union.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would a dentist normally be in a faculty union who does not teach?
Mm-hmm.
All he does is clean and pull or do whatever, but teach.
That's the worst description.
We want to go on the record. We love dentists.
Yeah. Dentists are great.
Both sides are very quickly agreeing. We love dentists.
Awesome. People at UCF Health who are practitioners also teach at the med school, so they do have an academic role.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are dentists and doctors on our campus who are in your union,
mm-hmm.
they probably shouldn't be, but nobody's going to try to get them out at this point. But they have no academic role at all. So why would they need that? They don't fall in that rubric of academic freedom because they're not faculty.
Well, so would it be a non-exercise? It would be a non-exercise clause then. Just wondering what the harm is if it's a non-point. Then what's?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Have we had problems with that
not
recently
that
or?
No, not that I'm aware of. I just think it's kind of an anomaly to have.
Perhaps in part there's not been a problem because it's said faculty for
yeah.
who doesn't belong.
Yeah, the problem is faculty is not defined. I just looked and I'm like, oh no. We don't have a definition of what faculty is.
Sherry, do you see nurses as the same way?
I see
because
nurses.
Some are clinical and some are instructional and some do both.
I see nurses who are part of the College of Nursing as faculty, even though they may be clinical faculty, but they have an educational role. I see if we have nurses, I'm sure we probably do, but they're not in the bargaining unit as far as I know. I haven't looked at the certification recently, but I suspect we have some in the
research park.
Well,
you mean the actual College of Nursing, nurses,
right,
those
right,
nurses
right,
that treat the students.
Right,
right.
Yeah,
right.
That's different.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. They're on AMP contracts.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think the position of nurse is in the unit.
No, it's not.
If a person who has as their discipline the subject of nursing, they'd be an assistant or an associate, a full.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or instructor or lecture, and then they would
be
covered by the term.
I'm not sure that I'm willing to, this is not a hill I'm particularly wanting to die on, but I think it's just something we need to think about because typically that is what I think the freedom is for faculty.
It's for research and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And this specifies research, teaching, and service, right?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. So if you're not doing those things, then it would be a inconsequential clause article.
Unless somebody tried to stretch their definition beyond what we would want to say teaching or research was.
Can
we have a quick,
sure.
Can you allow us a
can
quick caucus outside?
Can we discuss the question? We're talking about the use of faculty on line 16. Yes?
Correct.
Well, what is the last
one? It's just going to be the five of us.
We're going to talk about something else.
Oh. Oh, geez.
All right.
So, we think we might have a fix that would be satisfactory to everyone.
And Chuck
is going to explain. Oh, no. There's an explanation involved. We're in trouble.
He explained to me in the hallway, and I didn't quite get it. But I think you'll do better. So go take it away, Chuck.
There's right, no guarantees here, Mike.
I will give this a try.
Okay.
What we're suggesting right now is that we substitute employees for faculty in line 16, as right. was suggested. That particular sentence is talking about addressing matters of institutional policy or action, which we believe all employees should have that right, even if they're not members of the bargaining unit. So that's fine. If we look at the first, the preceding sentence that goes from 14 to 16, where we're talking about exposition of subject matter, acknowledgement of scholarly opinions, this isn't something that every employee does. And we're recommending that we reinsert the word such.
Which
that
is
we're,
rough, but.
Because in this case, employee is working, talking about a subset of the employees who are involved in the objective and skillful exposition of subject matter, which would be typically faculty, or excuse me, employees who had teaching and research assignments.
Right, so let me read it out loud, Chuck. What I think you're suggesting is that the sentence read, objective and skillful objective and skillful exposition of such subject matter, including the acknowledgement of a variety of scholarly opinions, is the duty of every such employee. Employees are also free to address any matter of institutional policy or action.
Yes.
Step in.
Yeah, let us step out real quick.
While you're thinking about that, we don't like the reference to the grading policy either. We don't want to. We don't want we to talk about that while you're out there too.
All right. Did you want me to step up too?
We could turn this.
We could stay.
You
there's
can
nothing.
Stay.
There's nothing.
We're not going to be divulging state secrets.
Okay. Well,
you know.
Yes. Go ahead.
I didn't miss anything. I sure did that pictures.
Okay. That's on the record now.
I don't care. We
agree to including the word such.
Okay.
And
such
employees.
Right, and employees, right, exactly. So then you'd indicated as we were leaving that you had a concern about including the specific policy. So we wanted to learn what the concern was or what the alternative you were proposing was.
Well, I mean, obviously by putting number 4-402 grading policy dated December 6, 2006, it means any change whatsoever to the university policy on grading would then have to either do one of two things. We'd have a grading policy that would have to wait till the next contract opened up, and then we have two grading policies. We'd be have people in the bargaining unit following a policy that's unrevised, and people following a revised policy, which is problematic for us. Or we'd have to come and try to reopen it mid contract, which is not something really we want to do. You know. So.
How about we understand that concern and the rationale behind it. How about something just a little bit different?
Okay.
How about just in that sentence say, and to determine grades, period. So meaning letter grades, A-, whatever.
I like the idea of kind of shortening the language a little bit. What if we said to determine grades in accordance with university grading policy that points to the fact that there is a policy that may periodically be revised by the university policy committee, but it's not this amorphous policy manual. It's in accordance with the university grading policy.
Okay, so you would say, and to determine grades university grading policy.
That's fine.
Yeah, would existing grading policy matter or no?
What did you say?
Existing.
No, I mean, that's what we're after, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't changed since 2006. I mean, we're not...
So far. I mean...
yeah, no, I mean, we're not...
Don't have any inside information.
Are you good on that?
Yeah,
Clear and policy. Yeah. Okay, that's... We're fine with that suggestion as well.
Is this team okay with that?
Yeah.
can we put that together and TA it tonight? So we can make an announcement that we have one TA'd
and a big
down.
One. And it's an important one.
It is an important one, you're right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We can do that.
All right, let's
okay.
let's go and do that.
Oh, okay.
And meanwhile, what we're going to do is tell you about two things. One is we have give you, I mean, it's kind of nothing.
We're
going
to come back to non-discrimination, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But this is
basically
kind of a formality. This is the status quo on severability is what we're looking at.
And we're going to work on this one.
Oh, it is status quo. Okay, so it's exactly status quo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although one of the things that you have...
Keep one. Hand me a pile.
Okay.
Right. So hold on. One of the things that although there is a section in your severability that we think might be, might be picked up by us, which is the section on negotiations for replacement provision in the event that something struck. Because currently it's mandatory, and what you have in your section is that if either side requests. So we're going to take that up because we think, you know, why create a... I mean, there may be a change if both of us are okay, we're good with that change. We don't need to talk about that. So why have a contract provision that mandates that we renegotiate a provision that might be invalidated, but we don't care. So your language is more like we're only going to trigger that in the event one of the parties requests it. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So why don't you put it in?
We might do that.
So should we?
Yeah, just hang on to
okay,
that.
Okay, right,
we,
right.
We had that to give you, and so, but in our caucus, we.
Yeah, we're getting. I think we're getting to that. Or
yeah.
No?
Which what?
Non-discrimination.
You want to talk about that before we go get academic type?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. We'll be okay. I don't think we'll have a. So, what are your thoughts on non-discrimination, John?
Yeah, just a second.
Take
notes myself. I think that we're comfortable with our proposal that we gave you tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, there's just one language change, but it's to correct grammar, so let's worry about that down the road.
Yeah.
What did you have to suggest to us?
Well, I think we like our language too, but I guess I in looking at what you put on the table for 8.1 policy, we're okay with adding pregnancy, but we still have the same concerns that we've articulated in the past about the ambiguity of parental status and how that's not defined, and we think that it's such a broadly stated potential protected class, if we put it in the contract, that we would have consequences that would be unworkable. So that, but and we've had this conversation, I think,
right,
on several rounds of negotiations.
Well, and then if you remember last time, you brought us, I think it was some rules that had been adopted by the Labor Department, and you convinced us that pregnancy or parental status was a protected group under sex. And so that's why last time we said we were okay with not including it. But now, because of the current administration in Washington, we're concerned about how easily those sort of rules and things that aren't in legislation, even legislation itself, could just be stricken. Mm. And so that's why now we're bringing it again, because we're concerned about that rule being reversed, you know, overnight in Washington.
All right. Well, we're going to have to dial back into that.
I mean, the idea is that people shouldn't be discriminated against because they have children. And that's happening. So we'd like to make it clear that that's not acceptable. It's that simple, however we word that.
The way it's worded, you discriminate against someone because they don't have children, right? I mean, it's either...
Yeah.
Right, it works either way. It shouldn't enter in.
It's everyone, right? You either have
but that particular subject, mm-hmm. right. that particular subject as a component of discrimination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things that we talked about is that it would mean that. And what Charlie's saying, since it's both those with children, those without children, any accommodation that would be given to someone because they had children, which happens a lot in the workplace and is a good thing, and is even kind of recognized in law in some instances, would be subject to a challenge by someone who was on the other side.
That's true of a lot of these discrimination categories.
Yeah, and we can...
It works on, as well, better than I do, that how that works, how often that's been the case.
Yes and no. You know, I think that there's... When we have a protected class and we make an accommodation for someone based upon their protected class, we can't show favoritism unless we have we're following some sort of strictly allowed affirmative action or something of that nature. I mean, we're not allowed to say, oh, because you are in this protected class, you're going to be treated better or worse. But when it comes to child care, I mean, I just know that some people say, I know that you have these obligations, and so we're going to let you do this or let you do that. I mean, it happens in my office. It happens in my work. I mean, I have single parents who say, my child cannot be dropped off until 8:30, and so I can't be anywhere until 9, and we accommodate that. And there's people who don't have that. We don't say, oh, everyone gets, we're going to float down to whatever is the requirement in that child care. Everyone gets to come in at 9. And no one has to do anything before 9 o'clock, even though we might have a hearing that starts at 8. So, I mean, that just happens. And so it is different, we think. It is different. I mean, I think there's certainly maybe some sort of, and we've heard examples that we certainly would not say is good practice, you know, where someone might say, I don't think I'm going to hire that person because they're single and they have three children. I don't think we're going to be able to dedicate the time and attention to this job, and they use that against them. But I think that goes back to the protections that we talked about last year. I think that's a violation of the law. But I think
in, well, in, could you summarize that somehow in the language for us?
Day in, day out kinds of accommodations that are made that are positive and good, and we don't want to wipe those out.
We're also conflating here accommodations with discrimination, which is not always the case.
It can be, though, if you're not on the wrong side of the accommodation.
But you're not on any side of an accommodation. When one employee gets an accommodation, it has no bearing on the other employee.
It could. It sure could. I mean, if I say, listen, if I say to the person, you don't have to do anything before 9 o'clock because I understand your circumstances, and you are going to take every assignment before 9 o'clock because you don't have to drop a kid off at child off at daycare.
That sounds like it violates other clauses.
I'm just saying could happen that way. And right now, yeah. So I don't know. What clause would it violate, Nick?
Well, our schedules are supposed to be negotiated, right? With in consultation with our chairs? That doesn't sound like a consultation. It sounds like a demand.
No, I was actually using the example of my office, which is not organized. And so we took the part of the
I mean, you understand the general principle of what we're trying to get to. I understand the general principle. So it's about trying to capture that in some way.
Yeah. Can you suggest a way to capture that? I mean, it sounds like you're not opposed to the principle, but you don't want to open up liability. And so we're...
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you could suggest...
I know it. Figure it out.
And our concern really is motivated truly by the... Because you convinced us last time, you truly did, that, okay, here's the regulations, it's under the Labor Department, it was there in black and white, and we said, yes, you're right, we don't need to have it in there. But now we've recognized how quickly and easily those get reversed as administrations come in and out of Washington. And so now we'd like to see that in our contract and recognize in our contract to protect against that kind of equivocation.
All right, well, let's take a caucus and... Also, while we're in caucus, we'll try to pull together a TA for academic review.
Okay, great. Thanks. What about titles and headings?
Titles and headings?
Yeah, we haven't TA'd even that.
We'll take a look at that.
Nick didn't hear that.
Really?
You didn't even hear that.
That's a good thing. What? No. Don't get him all hostile again. He was in a good mood.
I'm going to 58.
Well, the reason I had to change the $10 bill was because of what happened.
I don't want
to
hear it. Whatever. It doesn't even matter. I mean, yeah, the women's loss.
St. Petersburg.
But the men's hockey didn't matter. No NHL.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But you deserve it.
I'm doing it whether I do or not.
What's that?
She's going to pick a date for you.
I'm just getting reminders that don't have numbers on that don't have anything to do with.
Nice.
There we go.
Six.
Where's the lose mine? Oh, it's probably stuck at the men's room.
There's six.
Okay. Two over plus TA tonight.
Oh.
Do you have titles?
Titles and headings and.
Look at you.
Five.
Look at that. We squeezed one more across the line.
Across the line.
30 to go. Were you asked to explain who Ernie Banks was?
No.
No? Okay.
I was busy.
Okay. Just wondering.
You don't know? you need an explanation?
Something's got to go.
Okay, so we have two articles that we can consider for agreement and TA. One is titles and headings. Here's how many copies do we have? Is this three? Here's three you need to look at. Now, and then we also have Article 5, which is academic freedom. Mm-hmm. And here's the copies of that. Now, here's four. I got four. I'm sorry.
You want me to pass it right back?
I'm going to lean over your shoulder.
So, and here's Article 5.
You want to read it for a second?
And I want, here's four copies of Article 5. All right. I want to explain something, though, so that it's on the record. Article, because there aren't subsections of title and heading, we just put X for the number because we're going to address the number situation. Because academic freedom has section numbers, we used 5, but we all realize that there's an issue of numbering that will be addressed later on, so we're not locking you into designating this as 5.
Understood. Thank you.
Well, we debated that. What we thought,
it's a verb there instead of a noun.
Right. But effect is a noun.
It should be. Yeah, Lee's right. That should be affect on line. The first time in line 5 should be affect.
That's what the old language was, but I was assured by.
Yeah, that should be
affect. Affect.
You just don't get my sense of humor.
Right. Yeah. Can we just make that change?
I'm sorry, Charlie.
That's okay.
Which side are you signing on?
A could mean something other than
that. And C and C.
What? For the record?
One single policy.
So we need another copy of it. That's
should have.
Okay,
hold on.
Well, no, this is that's an easy crutch.
Right. Okay, can I have one of these?
Yeah.
So I'm signing on the left.
It doesn't count for whatever reason, nor does it spell
in
recipe. So, don't try.
Yeah.
Desert. So those like that I got. You want that one helping a dessert, the one helping a desert. So that one I got.
So it should be singular. Like
forced
right there. It should be singular.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The one that I used to always get focused on is tomorrow. I can never remember if it was 2 M's or 2 R's.
We need to look at it. I mean, does it look good otherwise?
Well, read through.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you? We'll step outside and read through it in case you want to discuss it as you go.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell them about one grammar?
Well, we just noticed one grammatical issue with this one as well. So it's on line 14.
Mm-hmm.
Determining grades in accordance with the university policy.
Singular
instead of plural.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes. We don't have.
No, I do, but I won't be able to get home.
Oh. Right.
That's the issue.
Presented a presentation tomorrow at 10:30.
Okay. Are we back on?
We're back on.
So we caught just a few things that we believe we agreed to in the language to just make sure we've got that in.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So. I know it's bad handwriting, isn't it?
What is that word?
Oh, two and T determine.
Oh, okay.
Even T O, you can't read T O.
Well, it's got this.
That's
a little
it looks
carrot.
Looks like a U.
That means,
it's a carrot. Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
A carrot. Means insert
it.
Here.
Got it. Thank you for explaining. I got it.
You must know the old-fashioned editor's proof marks, right?
All right. Can you
it's not
do?
A very good carrot.
Can you make these changes to another copy?
Yes. Yes, we can do that. Do we have another copy handy? TA this, and Mike can be on his merry way.
Freedom?
Yes, academic freedom. And I'll try to make a better parrot.
Let him keep that copy.
I can just make a photocopy of that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, photocopy.
Yeah, you could.
Well, then the carrot's going to be bad.
Oh, gosh, that's ugly. Oh, it's upside down carrot. That's why, right?
No, that's the way carrots grow.
Leave it to a biologist.
Well, she's a semi-biologist. Biologist by association, right? Yeah. Are we off?
No, I think we're on.
We better turn it off so we start telling stories and we're not in trouble.
We would never do that. You know, I bet it's going to be cold outside when we walk out.
It's cold walking in.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know how cold it is up in New York where my parents live. It's probably in the teens.
It's 53 out right now.
Oh, that's chilly.
It's pretty chilly.
Yeah. How, what is it?
53.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, this is super person. This is Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I have to go to a conference in Philadelphia in 2 weeks. And you know, they're about to have their second or third nor'easter. I'm looking for the 10-day forecast. The high of any day is like 45. The lows are like 27.
Yeah, that's going to feel awful cold. Yeah.
It's gonna, yeah. I'm really close for that. You know? I'm a Florida girl.
Well, the REI opened in Winter Park. That's a good place to go for your cold weather clothes.
No.
They might even be out.
Goodwill is the place right where I know. I'm not going to be using it again, so.
Well, I had some politicians that I know who had to go to Washington, D.C. during the last storm. And they said the airplane flight up there, first they couldn't land in D.C., they had to land in Baltimore. But it was so violent that everybody on the plane got sick. Literally everybody on the plane.
I know.
I hate turbulence like that. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm like, curled in a fetal position praying.
I just can't imagine.
I mean, I don't like rides. I never go on rides at when we used to have fairs and things. Yeah. You know, I'm Disney, I don't go on any of those rides. You know.
I go by close my eyes.
Maybe you should read that one sentence with all the carrots into the record so that I can be sure that I understand them.
Okay. Now you're asking me to read my own writing? We're in big trouble.
Yep.
All right, let me find where it is. Okay, so this is on line 5.2. It says, consistent with the exercise of academic responsibility, employees shall have freedom to present and discuss their own academic subjects frankly and forthrightly, without fear of censorship, and to create and select instructional and course materials, and to determine grades in accordance with university grading policy.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
It.
So I guess I'm going to initial the lines like 13, 14, and that should be it. And then sign the bottom.
Okay. Yes.
Here it is, Charlie.
Titles and headings, yeah. Woohoo, we got two done.
Woo-hoo.
So that's 7% roughly.
Oh, that's a lot.
that's a lot, Mike.
That sounds like a lot.
Last time on the first day, we TA'd like 7.
Well, that's because we just accepted a whole bunch of status quo.
I know.
We just went through and said, okay, these are the ones that nobody's going to
turn off. You may turn.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah, I think we're done.